well this morning. This week, I've been dealing with some headaches and scratchy throat and all that fun stuff that seems to be everybody's been dealing with lately. So, fortunately, this morning I'm doing pretty well. All right. So, Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he that received 2 also gained another 2. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought the other 5, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained another 5 besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, O good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you're a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the earth. Lo, here it is, what is yours? His Lord answered and said unto him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I have not scattered seed. You ought therefore to have put my money in the bank, and then at my coming I should have received my own with interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and given in abundance. But from him that does not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast you the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day where we can gather together. We thank you for the blessing of your word that, at least at this point here in America, we can read it freely and we can gather together. We pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts, that you draw us unto you, that our hearts would yearn for you and desire you, and that you would turn our desires into your desires, Father, and what you want for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, here we have an example of 2 servants, one faithful, one not. We will all one day stand before our Lord as these servants stood before theirs, and we'll be judged as to what we did with what it is that God gave us. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be one of the faithful servants. And I'd be willing to bet everyone in this room does too. Now, I guarantee you there was joy in that servant who was faithful when his Lord looked and said, Well done, good and faithful servant. I can tell you that I want nothing more than at the end of my days to hear those same words from my Lord. We should all desire to be faithful to God, every one of us. However, being faithful is not easy. It takes hard work. In Proverbs 20, verse 6, it says, Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Faithfulness is rare. Many will declare their own works and speak well of them themselves, but under scrutiny, their claim doesn't hold up. Now, obviously, people still have a positive outlook on faithfulness. If they didn't, they wouldn't try and cover up when they're not. This was true a couple thousand years ago, and it's still true today. Now, our God-given, Our God-given conscience tells us that faithfulness is good, and unfaithfulness is bad. But mankind's insatiable, sinful appetites cause us to sacrifice the faithfulness to feed our desires. The outlook of the world is self-absorbed And this outlook leads to prevalent unfaithfulness. You see it on the news, and the things that people do to one another, the messages that come out of Hollywood, and the decisions being made by those in government. The world says, be faithful when it's convenient. Be faithful when it doesn't cost you anything. Too many have a what's in it for me attitude. If it's too hard or people are complaining, let's lower the bar for the expectations. After all, life is supposed to be easy, right? No. I think we can all attest to the opposite. Life is hard, but God is good. I've heard from many business owners these days, they have a hard time finding good help, finding someone who will come in and put in a hard day's work, or finding others who will show up on a consistent basis. In the business world, you have those who are breaching the contracts they've signed with others, bringing lawsuits against one another. Marriages are falling apart left and right due to infidelity. See, people that are willing to do anything to get what they want, they'll sell out their friends or loved ones and are willing to destroy relationships for the sake of success. Obviously, their thought isn't that it matters how you get there. The world says get what you want at any cost. People scoff at being faithful when things get difficult, and they want to take the easy way. However, many times the right way is not the easy way. As Jesus stated, the path that leads to destruction is wide, but the path that leads to life is straight and narrow. God calls us to be faithful no matter the cost. Matthew 10:22 says, "He that endures to the end shall be saved." 2 Timothy 2:3 says, "Therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." That word endure indicates it's going to be tough. You're going to have to deal with uncomfortable things. One doesn't need to endure that which is easy. If being faithful is easy, everyone would do it. God desires we be faithful in our relationship to Him, and He desires that we be faithful in our relationship with others. We're to honor God in how we serve Him and interact with other people. Now, this encompasses all areas of our life, our marriage, our family, our friends, our job, even those we interact with at the grocery store. Mark 12:30 and 31 says, "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." This is the first commandment. And the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Colossians 3:17, it says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." And when we read these verses, there can be no question as to how God wants us to conduct our lives. We're to faithfully commit ourselves to following Him and live our lives for the glory of God. Now, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." It is by walking in obedience to God that we show both our love and our faithfulness to Him. God has given us our marching orders. Many call it the Great Commission. Matthew 28 says, "Go therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." We're called to expand the kingdom of God and share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, making disciples. Thankfully, we're not being sent out on our own. As God promised Moses that He would be with him when He sent him to Egypt, we have Jesus' assurance that He will be with us, and we can take comfort in the fact that He will be faithful to that promise. You see, God is faithful perfectly, and there's none like Him. No one else can be faithful the way God is faithful. He is faithful in all things, all the time. Even when we think God has forgotten, He hasn't. We so often are short-sighted and fail to believe that God will follow through. We get discouraged because God isn't moving fast enough or doing the things that we think He should. We think back to the people of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness. They grumbled and complained that God was going to destroy them because he didn't lead them right there to the promised land. They failed to believe that God would bring them in the land that he had promised, and they doubted God would keep his word. In the same way, we complain and we question God when things aren't going our way. We need to remain faithful and trust that God will do as he says. You see, God did bring them into the promised land, just not before he made some adjustments. And sometimes God needs to make some adjustments with us before he can bring to pass in our lives what it is that he desires for us. There are multiple places in Scripture that talk of the faithfulness of God. Other sections depend on it. You have Lamentations 3:23, many know because of the hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness," which says those very words. Deuteronomy 7:9 states, "Know therefore the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called under the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, our salvation hinges on the faithfulness of God to keep his word, both what he has done and what he is yet to do. If Jesus had not been faithful to what the Father called him to, humbling himself and dying on the cross for our sins, his blood being shed that we might be redeemed, we'd have no hope. You can't read the Word of God without seeing that he is amazingly faithful. Another instance of God's faithfulness is the restoration of Israel as a nation. You see, Israel was destroyed in 70 AD. However, in Scripture, it speaks that at the end of days, the nation of Israel will stand. The Jewish people, for centuries, have faithfully been trusting in God that he would bring his word to pass. And he did. However, it took almost 2,000 years. In 1948, Israel once became a nation. But you can imagine the dismay and the questions that they had those centuries before with everything that happened to them. Now, God has proved himself to be faithful time and again, and the faithfulness of God should give us peace despite our circumstances. As he proves himself in our own lives, we should trust him more and more, because he will come through. There is not a prophecy he has not or will not fulfill. There is not a promise he has not kept, nor a covenant that he has broken. Now, we have been made in his image, and he desires for us to be faithful as he is faithful. However, unlike God, we're not able to be perfectly faithful. However, that should not stop us from striving. The good news is that when we fail, all is not lost. See, God is fully able to restore us. Now, notice that I said when, not if. For all will fail, but God is good. You think of the Apostle Peter. When Jesus was arrested and brought before the religious leaders, not once, not twice, but three times, Peter denied that he knew him. Now, just before he was arrested, Jesus had told the apostles that they would all abandon him. But Peter had declared, "Not me, Lord. I would never do that. I will die before I will deny your name." However, at this point, when Peter denies Jesus, it's not even from a distance, but he's standing there and he's watching the trial go on. He's watching as they mock Jesus and as they strike him, yet still he denies him. Then at that moment, as he hears the rooster crow the second time, it says in Luke that Peter saw Jesus look at him. And at that moment, Peter remembered and his heart broke. He ran out into the night weeping. Jesus restores him to fellowship, and Peter is used mightily by the Lord after this. Not because of who Peter was, but because of who God is. As God restored Peter, so we can be restored when we have failed the Lord. But it starts with a contrite heart. You see, the beginning of that path to restoration was when Peter, when his heart was smote, when he was struck with remorse. See, we can't be restored until we acknowledged our failure. Good news? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us not forget that to be unfaithful is sinful. When we have sinned, we need to repent and make things right with the Lord, and when applicable, with others. God's grace is sufficient. However, our goal should be faithfulness, not compromise or complacency. Now, as we strive to exercise faithfulness in our lives, I want to point out there's a certain mindset that faithful individuals have, certain characteristics that they possess. Now, this might not be an exhausted list, but these are several key elements. First, they have faith. A faithful man or woman, they have faith, they believe in what they're doing. They're not just going through the motions. That faithfulness comes from acting on their beliefs. Faith is that which you believe. Well, faithfulness is more about how you live what you believe in your day-to-day life and provides evidence of your faith. And when you're planning a trip, you need to know where you're going before you can chart a course to get there. In the same sense, you need to know what you believe before you can put it into action effectively. One can't serve God without first knowing him. Now, it is God's faithfulness that produces faith in man to follow God. A faithful individual trusts God in the good times and the bad. When bad things happen, people can get anxious and start to worry. The faithful man has faith that God will come through and stays the course when others won't. There are times when God reveals things to us, and there are times when he doesn't. Sometimes we don't know the answers because he doesn't intend us to. However, this is an opportunity for our faith to grow. We need to trust God, especially when we don't know the answers. See, when a pilot is flying through thick clouds, he can't see anything around him, and he can easily become disoriented. However, they have instruments on the control panel, and these help them determine a level flight path and the direction they need to go. However, all he can do is trust those instruments are providing him with accurate information. If there was something wrong with those instruments or the pilot just stopped looking at them, they could find themselves in a heap of trouble very quickly, possibly with a plane going just like that, because you can't determine what is up or what is down in the thickness of those clouds. In the same sense, we need to have faith that God is guiding us and continually look to him, just as that pilot looks at those instruments. And unlike those instruments in the plane, we know that God is never going to fail. Next, a faithful individual is empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is only through the strength God gives us that we can be faithful to him. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. While this scripture has many areas of life where it can be applied, it certainly comes into play with being faithful. See, faithfulness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. It is through God that we're able to be faithful. You see, the Holy Spirit leads and empowers us. Our faithfulness is evidence of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. On the flip side of the coin, that also means when we falter, it means we're not in a right place with him. If you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Now, here's the good news. We do have our part to do in being faithful, but it's God who does the heavy lifting. Again, starting in verse 23, says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blamelessly until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. See, God does not abandon us to figure out what we need to do and say, hope to see you on the other side. Thank God for that, because if he did, we wouldn't make it. He's there with us and he guides us. God has called us to serve him, will sanctify us for his purposes, and through his power, it's he that will bring it to pass. Next, a faithful person lives intentionally. They live with purpose and discipline themselves to serve the Lord. One is not faithful by accident. Their life is carefully thought out, and their actions have purpose in them. They have something that they're working towards, and they know what it is. See, marriage is an area where many people think of the importance of faithfulness. And we honor God as we exercise faithfulness in our marriages. When a man and woman get married, they profess their love and commitment to one another. However, this commitment must be lived out on a daily basis. Intentionally. There is a spiritual battle for every marriage in this room, and a battle can only be waged effectively if it's done intentionally. It doesn't work well if you bury your head in the sand and try to ignore it. The conflict involves both offense and defense. You make the decision to be faithful to your spouse every day, or you don't. You guard your mind against unfaithful thoughts and actions. This is your defense. The decision to be faithful to your husband or wife must be one that you have made before an opportunity presents itself to be unfaithful. Otherwise, you get in a situation and you find yourself in a great position to fail. Husbands and wives also need to actively serve and love one another. This here is your offense. It is also crucial you pray for one another, and the importance of praying for one another can't be overstated. That being said, I just want to take a moment and thank my wife. Past 3 weeks, she's been praying and fasting for me as I've been preparing. I'm blessed to have her. She truly is a gift from God. It means more than I can possibly say, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you, hon. Again, as the person who lives intentionally, that exercises faithfulness, the warrior trains his body and mind for battle, disciplining themselves for the fight. You see, the one who is apathetic and doesn't prepare will be destroyed when the fight comes to them. There is a world full of people out there that are lost and dying. They need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ or they'll perish. This is only going to happen if individuals share the word of God with others, and this is something that each of us needs to purpose to do. As it states in Romans 10, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they believe in him? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And you see, the word preacher here isn't referring to a pastor. It's referring to each one of us, any believer who is declaring the word of God. So nobody's off the hook. Next, a faithful person is tenacious. Being faithful is hard work, and not for the faint of heart. A faithful man or woman will contend for the faith. One animal that has a reputation for being tenacious is the pit bull. When a pit bull grabs hold of something, it doesn't let go. Now, this is not a physical attribute. You see, there's a myth out there that states a pit bull can lock its jaws on something when it bites down. However, their jaw structure is no different than other dogs in that manner. The difference is psychological. It is in the mind and can be attributed to how they think. When a pit bull bites down, it doesn't let go because it doesn't want to. They're determined to finish the task. There have been cases where the dog has had to be killed because it wouldn't let go, with a pry bar even being needed after the dog had died. How far are we willing to go when it comes to serving the Lord? How committed are we? While there can be great blessings from being faithful, faithfulness can also bring great difficulties. Think of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. After he was sold into slavery, Potiphar purchased him to be a slave in his household. Over time, he was appointed to be the overseer of Potiphar's household due to his faithfulness and God's blessing. After a time, he was noticed by Potiphar's wife, and she was attracted to him. After some time, she came to him and said, "Lie with me." However, he rightly refused. He said, "How can I do this? Your husband has appointed me over everything that he has and trusted me and has given everything to me except for you, his wife. I can't betray him. How could I do this wicked thing and sin against God?" However, she continued to pressure him day after day, but he steadfastly refuses. But one day, she catches him in the house, and there's nobody else around. Again, she tries to convince him to lie with her, this time grabbing his garment. Again, Joseph refuses, and at this point, he flees from the house, knowing he's in trouble. But because she had hold of his garment, he leaves it behind. At that point, she then accuses him of trying to force himself on her, using his garment as proof, causing Potiphar to have him thrown into prison where he remains for a couple of years. Now, while we know this is not the end of Joseph's story, it was a great price to pay for doing the right thing. Again, those who would be faithful must be tenacious and willing to stay the course, even when there are obstacles and difficulties. Many have heard of Richard Wurmbrand, founder of Voice of the Martyrs. He carries scars on his body because he would not deny the name of Christ. We have brothers and sisters in the world who are being killed and persecuted by ISIS and others simply because they will not deny Jesus. They've weighed the cost and have declared to the world through their actions that it's worth the price. How about you? Those who are faithful will have scars and carry battle wounds. Some will be physical, some emotional. Are you willing to pay the price for faithfulness? Next, a faithful person is someone who is dependable. There's someone that you can rely on. If you ask them for help and they say that they'll help you, you can count on them to show up, even if it means doing something they'd rather not be doing, like if you ask for help digging up your septic tank. Life gets busy, but a faithful friend shows up when you need help. Now, we're instructed to keep our word and be faithful to do that which we say we'll do. In Matthew 5, Jesus says, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." A faithful person is someone you can count on to follow through on that which they say. You don't worry about entering into an agreement or a contract with someone who's proven themselves to be faithful because they're trustworthy. Now, a faithful individual is also not concerned about the size of the task they've been given. In Luke 16:10, it states, Luke 16:10 states, "Those faithful in small things will be faithful in things of greater importance." The person who says that it is no big deal when they are unfaithful in something small and can't understand why someone is upset when they are unfaithful in something and don't follow through shouldn't be trusted in things of greater importance. On the other hand, those that show regard for even the smallest of tasks will take the same care when more important things need to be attended to. You can depend on them to see things through to the end. And lastly, a faithful person is courageous to stand when others won't. It's easy to stand in a crowd when everyone else is doing it. A faithful man or woman has to take a stand for the things of God, and sometimes this means doing it alone. Now, we are called to support one another and bear one another's burdens, but there are times you need to stand and it will seem like the world is against you. You'll look around and see nobody else on your side. The faithful person will stand anyways. It takes courage and boldness to stand out in a crowd. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not afraid. However, There can be no courage without fear. The one who is risking nothing is not acting courageously. It is the one who takes action despite their fear that is courageous. Trust God. Don't wait to stand for Jesus until it's convenient, because it never will be. The faithful person makes a commitment to stand even when they're afraid. We should always remember that God is with us. I remember that we had a children's cassette tape. I think my wife had it as a kid and let our kids listen to it, and I think they killed the tape player playing it so much. But one of the songs was based on Joshua 1:9, where it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." He will be there, and he will guide us, and he'll help us. So, again, those characteristics of a faithful person: one, they have faith. They know what they believe. Next, they're empowered by the Holy Spirit. They know that they can't be faithful without God's help. They act intentionally. They live their lives with purpose. They're tenacious. They'll hold on when others would let go. They're dependable. You can count on them to show up. You can rely on them. And they're courageous. They'll stand for God despite their fear, even when others won't. Now, faithfulness to God permeates all aspects of our lives. In marriage, our family, to friends, on the job, how we handle our finances. And that impact is beneficial. You see, we reap the benefit of being faithful to God as we walk as he calls us to. Our lives are better because of it. I have never heard someone say that they regret being faithful. If you're faithful to what God has called you to now, you don't have to worry about the future. On the other hand, if you're too busy planning for the future and not doing those things that God has called you to, don't expect success. We all desire God's blessing in our lives. We all have things that we're working towards, striving for success in different areas. Some are similar to one another. Others are unique. Let us not forget to faithfully pursue the things of God, to do things in a way that are God-honoring. You cannot set aside the things of God and expect him to bless you. You see, we sing songs about desiring to see God, to see him work, to show his power, and to rain on us his blessings. But God is only going to do this for a faithful church. God says, "Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you." People want the blessing of God, but not the God of the blessing. That needs to change. It's not God's blessing we need to seek, but God himself. We can start by being faithful to what he's called us to. You see, God has given various gifts and abilities to different individuals. Not all people have the same gifts, but all can exercise faithfulness in that which they've been given. And that battle for faithfulness, faithfulness starts in the mind. Those characteristics that we went over of a faithful individual, it all has to do with how you think. Now, God has been and will remain faithful to do his part. You and I need to be faithful to do ours. Then, in Christ alone, and not of anything that we can boast of ourselves, we can stand before God one day and hear those blessed words, "Well done, good and faithful servant."